Hey, everybody, your favorite doctors from the Super Ego Clinic for Analytical Science are back, and this time they are working for free. That's right, Super Ego Season 5 is being released out into the world for free on Wednesday, October 9th. I love these guys. I mean, Paul F. Tompkins, Mark McConville, Jeremy Carter, and our good friend Matt Gourley are all coming together from behind the paywall to give you a whole season of wild sketches and antics. I love these guys. You can hear from favorites like Shunt McGuppin and the Leffingwell Grocers and meet some new case studies like the Krautos Indiana Municipal Orchestra, plus guest star appearances from Andy Daly, Mary Holland, Lauren Lapkus, Amanda Lund, Chris Tallman, and more. Why am I not on this show? I said no once, like 4 years ago. I guess I'm shunned. I got to go talk to Gourley. A son of a bitch. You know what? I just had a kid. I couldn't go out at night. If you were recording during the day, I'd have more flexibility. I wanted to be on it. Oh, man. Anyway, Super Ego Season 5 out Wednesday, October 9th. Tune in wherever you get your downloads. Subscribe to Super Ego and your favorite podcast app. It's free, baby! People, it is time to turn your great idea into a reality with our friends at Squarespace. How do you do it? Well, I'll tell you. You have an idea. I can't tell you how to do that. I would say find some sort of muse, whether it be a beautiful man or a beautiful woman. Let them inspire you to create the art that you've always wanted to create. And maybe that art is a restaurant. Maybe it's an art of making a thing that like is the best keychain or wallet. I don't know. I can't supply you with the ideas. I can only supply you with the place to get those ideas out there. And that place is Squarespace. That's right. Squarespace is amazing. Whether you have a passion project or you are just showcasing your work, this is the place to go. Why? Because they have beautiful templates. They have 24/7 customer support. Right now, you can head on over to squarespace.com/bonkers to see a free trial of it in action. Just build a website. I guarantee you in 15 minutes, you'll have something that you're excited about. And in about 2 hours, you'll have a completely done website that you'll be like, damn, I did that. You'd be like, and then call over your friend Daniel. Go, damn, Daniel, guys, I'm up on the popular shit. Billie Eilish, I know her. Anyway, ready to launch, use the offer code BONKERS to save 10% off on your first purchase. So squarespace.com/bonkers, you're going to get a free trial. Then when you're ready to launch, use the code BONKERS for 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. I've done it. You should do it too, right? Follow me. Be a follower. Don't be a leader.
It's like Star Wars, but incomprehensible and sexy. We saw a star crash, so you know what that means.
Hey,
excited to be with you here tonight to talk about an important movie, Star Crash. Star Crash. I could explain the plot, but that would mean I understood what I watched. And I simply did not. I know it's about a robot and a lady and a guy, and they gotta find another guy, and there's a bad guy. And Christopher Plummer's in it. That's what I got. The other thing I got was whoever made this movie was really excited about their special effects. Like, we can't cut away from it. We need more of it. This is like the Bobo version of Stanley Kubrick. It looked like we were flying through microchips. Tonight, though, we'll be discussing it with my two amazing co-hosts. Without any further ado, please welcome to the stage, Mr. Jason Mantzoukas!
Hey, What's up, jerks? How we doing, Virginia? What's up, balcony?
Oh, man. Jason.
Paul.
Star Crash. Is it better than
Star Wars?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
It is not. this... This was a wild watch. This was, I'll be honest, this was pretty confounding on every level. This was like Lady Zardoz, how I felt about this movie.
I will tell you there is an interesting piece of connective tissue that this movie has with a film that's kind of an HD TGM alum, which is this is made by the same people who made the Lou Ferrigno Hercules film that we saw.
Okay, not even remotely surprised.
Yeah.
Not even remotely surprised. Holy cow. Okay, so that makes total sense. This was trash. This was trash that I was like, whoa, what's happening right now?
Or is it so ahead of its time that you couldn't get it?
It's not ahead of its time at all. It's arguably, if I'm not even kidding, I asked you backstage, when was this movie made? You said 1979.
That's right.
If you had said, 1952. I would have believed it. And if you'd been like, but they colorized it later. It looks like a movie from the early days of cinema.
They're trying a lot. They're stretching the budget every which way that they can.
Oof.
But there's one person, a true fan, I call her a Star Crash head. She normally goes to Comic-Con dressed as the characters from Star Crash. My other co-host, please welcome June Diane Raphael. Welcome, June.
Hi, Paul. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm okay.
June, talk me through the moods that you went through in watching this film.
I don't care for this genre. I don't...
When you say genre, you would say that is...
Space sci-fi, like okay. Star Wars and all that stuff. I don't like it. And I know that's unpopular, but I don't. I don't care for it. I hate it.
But what about when it's done so well, like in this movie? Where it's an epic, timeless tale.
I have seen a couple of Star Wars movies.
You have not.
I think I've seen one.
You saw Force Awakens.
Yeah, I saw that one.
And a little bit of New Hope.
They're fine. They're silly. It's silly stuff.
It is.
It's
and
silly
that's the
stuff.
Thing is, A New Hope, which is the movie Star Wars, that this movie is so closely timed to,
absolutely.
That this movie is so clearly aping, is itself, you know, oftentimes flimsy and bad-looking and full of bad effects and stuff like that. But somehow it is charming and, to me, wonderful because of nostalgia, and it's from when I was a kid. But this, to young people now... Does this to you look like Star Wars? Are you like, yeah, it's all the same? No. Okay, good.
It looks like it to me. I mean, not the interior stuff, but just the outside, all those slow gray ships.
You know what this...
Boring. It's so boring.
Well, this looks to me more like TV Battlestar Galactica. You
right.
know, the original Battlestar Galactica.
I mean, I guess the way I felt about how this movie looked, I mean, I want to talk about the costumes for roughly 2 hours.
Oh.
So
yes.
I just want to put a
yes.
pin in it.
Yes.
Because we're going to have to get into every single costume.
Images.
Okay. But just the production design, like, I stared at it, and I genuinely think if I worked hard enough, I could do that. Having no skills in drawing and architecture, I could, if I put my mind to it...
You could do it.
I think I could do that.
Well, I was thinking before we came out here, I was like, this is a movie where we could spend the entire show breaking down one scene because there are so many elements that really need to be picked apart.
Oh, yeah. I could talk for the rest of our lives about the robot character. who is capable of being nervous. I believe it's from Texas. I don't know what is doing with this guy.
Well, there are a couple things at play. First, I want to ask you, what's the robot's name?
L.
Hold on. I'm asking them. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, L.
And would you agree with that?
Yeah, L.
And what? How is that spelled?
Just the letter L?
The letter L?
No, it's E-L-L-E.
Like is it L Woods?
Yeah.
Is it L McPherson? Is it the supermodel known as the body, L McPherson?
When I saw that, because L makes sense. It's like, oh, it's a robot, it's a model. Like, that's model L, there's a model M. This is L, like woman in French, or the body in Sports Illustrated Swimsuit Edition.
Wow. Okay, interesting. So does that make that robot a female character in the movie?
Well, that was going to be my next question.
Because it had a male, like, Texas-accented voice.
I also felt like Elle and Stella had the best chemistry and sexual chemistry.
Yes.
I mean, does Elle have a dick?
Well, here's what I want to know. Great question. You know why I'm asking? Because there is a robot in this movie that's got tits.
Absolutely. Like
the Colossus
nipples.
Robot.
Full nipples.
The Colossus robot has giant metal tits that, like, are still perky no matter how many millennia.
Sure. And, like, very hard erect nipples. Yes.
Hard. Got those hard robot nips.
Well, they're probably holding some sort of a component or some sort of databases held in the chest area like that, I'm sure.
Why?
Because you never hit anybody in the nipples.
Paul, did you design that robot?
Let me talk to you about how I saw space in the future, okay? I saw it as very sexy. I thought, you're on a prison planet, wear a bikini by choice. That was not the prison wardrobe. That was Stella's wardrobe.
When
she's like, well, I'm going to the prison.
When she gets sent to a labor camp, people are wearing the equivalent of space burlap sacks. And she is in, like, a legit bikini.
And then
wears that bikini throughout space.
A more uncomfortable bikini because it was almost like masking tape was just kind of casually, like, put around her.
And I also took issue, I know this is really getting into the weeds of that bikini, but I thought it looked...
I would love to get into the weeds of that bikini. Let me be clear.
I thought it so great from the front. I thought she looked amazing. From the back, the cut of it, I found very unflattering, and it looked like a giant diaper.
Interesting. It looked like a giant diaper.
From the back, it looked like a diaper.
When she was wearing that red thing, the crotch front and the red back.
I took a bunch of pictures of this.
It definitely looked like a diaper there.
I took a bunch of pictures of where she's wearing what looks like a clear raincoat and then a sumo diaper. Then like a red sumo diaper.
It's almost like if her body was in a condom, but then the condom had a red diaper.
Or if she had been at a party where they have those sumo suits you put on and hers somehow deflated, but she had to still wear it around and act like it was sexy.
I just assumed when she was in the bikini at the penal colony that she it was day one and she hadn't had a chance yet to change into her prison garb.
See, I felt like she was like, oh, I'm going to prison. Give me that. I'm going to wear my own
thing. That was what she was already wearing.
Okay. All right. Oh.
I'm pretty sure.
Wow. That's interesting. So you think they just, because she's not, when she's on trial, she's not wearing it.
Right.
So do you think that's what's underneath her clothes?
What is she wearing on trial?
Well, I'll show you what she's wearing on trial.
As for you, Stella Starr.
I love her.
Having considered all the arguments, studied all the videotapes.
I guess she is just in the bikini. Okay.
The accusations. We condemn you to forced labor for life, in the penal colony of Nocturne II.
Can we just talk about the judge who looks... who looks a bit like Krang from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. It's not enough to have a head in a jar. Give him, like, serpentine arms that are constantly moving.
He doesn't seem to be able to get through any of his lines. He seems, like, confused, and it seems like they only did one take with him.
Well, why do anything different for his takes than anyone else in the film?
Holy
cow. That's the problem I have with movies like this that are bad movies like this, filmed on stages where it looks like I could have designed them. I feel like everybody's acting through a pile of goo. Like, there's a slowness to the energy. There's a pace.
Well, it feels theatrical.
Yeah.
It feels like presentational in a way that movies don't normally feel.
Yeah, but it's also, nobody walks with urgency. Nobody looks like they're coming from somewhere or going somewhere.
Wait, can I ask you a question? Is Christopher Plummer in this movie?
Yes.
That's okay. Correct.
He is the emperor of the galaxy.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, so Christopher Plummer on three different occasions turns his back to the camera. In an effort to, like, make... It's like a move. He, like, is saying his line, and then he'll just...
But what I found...
Turn around, and now the scene is you're looking at the back of it. It's so... That's what I mean. It felt like it was all theater actors that were like, no, I've made a choice. This is what I'm
doing. Christopher Plummer worked for one day on this movie.
He was like, if Alec Guinness can do it, I can do it.
I mean, well, here's a couple of things. One thing I want to talk about him turning around, he's on a hologram projection when we first see him. So that's bad hologram projection etiquette, to walk away from what you're supposed to be in drag. You're like, yeah, so anyway, I don't know. And he's so upset about his son, but you don't have to turn away. He's still the emperor. Our friend Will Harris, who's actually out here in the audience tonight, interviewed Christopher Plummer. And I wanted to read why Christopher Plummer said this. He asked him about Star Crash. He said, oh, Star Crash. Oh, my God. There are two things I can say about that. One, give me Rome any day. I'll do a porno in Rome. As long as I can get to Rome. Going to Rome was the greatest thing that happened in that for me. I think it was about 3 days in Rome on that one. It was all shot at once. And the girl, what's her name? Monroe, Carolyn Monroe. She was something incredible to look at. That was a great pleasure, too. But beyond those two things, I mean, how can you play the emperor of the universe? What a wonderful part to play. It puts God in a very dicey moment, doesn't it? He's very insecure, God, when the emperor's around.
Oh, my God.
So in one way, he's kind of saying, like, I only did this to shoot in Italy. And in the other way, he's like, I did this to put the fear into God.
Like my he basically is like, you know what? Yes, obviously I did. I got to look at a pretty girl. I got to eat good food in Italy. And I got to shame God.
God gets pretty insecure when he watches this movie, Star Crash. More to the point that he created people that would make the movie Star Crash. I guess I messed up.
Wow.
Also, John Barry composed the music for this movie. John Barry did a bunch of the James Bond music. He did Midnight Cowboy. And they play his opening theme. And it looked like they didn't discuss, like, when the theme should end. So it just cuts abruptly, like, mid-song. It's like, Highway to the...
Wait, is it Highway to the Danger Zone?
I'm just trying to think... Sing something that everyone gets. I'm a Top
Which
Gun
Which you
head.
Decided was Highway to the Danger Zone?
Maverick is back, baby! Top Gun 2!
Wait a second. Is this Top Gun 2 marketing? What is this?
It's not. I was not paid a small fee by Tom Cruise to casually drop in. Maverick's back.
I did see you backstage hugging a naked Kenny Loggins, who is a nudist.
What can I say? It was just a happenstance. He happened to be here. We both bonded on our mutual love for one of the greatest movies in cinema, Top Gun. I feel the need the need for it? Yeah, there we go.
What is this? What are we doing? Don't encourage him. What's happening? Take me to bed or lose me. All right, everybody can do it.
Hence why I picked Highway to the Danger Zone. It's the movie that bonds America together. The one movie we can all agree upon.
Are you going to keep doing it?
But yeah, no, I mean, Christopher Plummer's in this. David Hasselhoff billed early on and billed as the star of this film.
I spent the first hour saying to Paul, where is Hasselhoff? Where is Hasselhoff? Is that Hasselhoff?
There was a period at the beginning where I thought he might be the robot.
Me too.
I was like, he might be the robot. Maybe that's what we're working with.
Again, because they did have a sexual chemistry. The robot and Stella, they did, right?
Oh, I would love to watch them fuck.
I thought we were going to.
I would love to watch her and Elle go to town on each other.
We were about to.
Well, I would say one thing, too.
Is that why do you think Elle was nervous?
Well, again, and June, I know you weren't here for this episode of Hercules with Lou Ferrigno, but at the end, when Hercules meets his lover, or this person he's been pining after, at the end, they do this awkward hug, and in this movie, the same thing, like the climactic moment, Stella comes back to the ship, and she just kind of gives a very gentle hug to David Hasselhoff, and it seemed like that was a moment ripe for a kiss, right? They are deferring to each other, and we don't know who's going to take it at this point. They're so gracious.
I had no idea.
I felt like.
Okay, we have another foul on the play.
Oh, it's a classic. Please, June.
I was surprised to understand that they were together as a couple. I had no idea that this had transpired between the two of them.
When did
that happen?
Never.
It didn't happen.
They are simply together because I feel like some directors like, well, yeah, they're together now, right? She's a girl, he's a guy.
Well, he's also now a prince or whatever he is.
He always was.
He's royal, but she didn't know it.
Oh.
So now I feel like they have to be together at the end. Like those of them.
But
the,
when
she's a smuggler. She's Han Solo, though. That's the thing is she's like the badass.
Right.
And he's kind of like a who cares.
But when she first meets him, doesn't she say to him, we've been looking for you, the emperor's son?
Yes.
Then he's royalty, is he not?
Yeah, he is. Here's what's dumb about it, is when they find Hasselhoff stranded, they don't know he's the guy they're looking for. They just think he's somebody who escaped that blown up ship. But it's very obvious that that's who it is. So, like, why not just be like, we're looking for the emperor's son, and him being like, oh, yeah, that's me.
Also, why do the big reveal of putting him in a mask? We've not seen this character. So the reveal would be good if we knew, oh, this is my son, a hologram of David Hasselhoff's face. And then he would be like, who's this man? David Hasselhoff. Oh.
That's the guy.
No.
In Star Wars, the movie that this is basically ripping off.
Oh, wait, yeah. Well,
people are upset about that. They have Luke and Leia, brother and sister kiss. This movie can't even have a kiss.
Just to, not to, you know, go against you, but it was inspired by Star Wars. But here's the interesting thing. The director was asked, please make a space like Star Wars New Hope. Now, the director, writer, had never seen the film, but he went to the local library and read the novelization of Star Wars, The New Hope.
Guys, are you cheering for libraries?
Yeah.
Somebody just stood up in their seat.
Guys, is there a librarian in the audience?
That's awesome.
There's two honest to God, how many librarians are in the audience right now?
That's awesome.
There are upwards of 5 librarians in the audience.
Thank you, librarians.
Fight, 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 fight.
People don't realize, libraries, yes, obviously you can check out books. We all know that.
Wait, people don't realize that? Is that what you do? People don't realize libraries you can check out books?
People don't realize all the other resources that are available at your public libraries.
By the way,
there's so much going on there.
We talk about on the mini episode how every one of these movies is available at your public library.
Yes.
And digitally sometimes.
After school help, all sorts of classes and resources for the senior community, for kids whose parents work late and don't necessarily have a safe place to go to after school. Anyway, back to
the
movie.
Wait a second, June. Wait 1 second. Are you an undercover librarian?
What? Busted.
But no, I thought this is so funny that this movie is arguably one of the most popular films, Star Wars. The director and writer goes, let me read the novelization, reads it, and then goes, I got it. And then starts writing his own version. So he had not seen, he'd only read this, the novelization of it, which is, that's what this feels like. It doesn't feel like he saw it. It feels like he got elements of it.
Well, it's like, it is a weird mashup because there's also like, Ray Harryhausen-esque like stop motion stuff,
yes,
with the golems and the Colossus. There, it's like Clash of the Titans meets Star Wars meets like 1940s serials. Like it's all combined into one nonsense factory of and Zardoz and a lot of Zardoz.
But I mean, but by the way, it's all Hercules with Lou Ferrigno because the same thing with these Harryhausen kind of things. But David Hasselhoff, I did some research about him too. The reason why he wears that mask when he's introduced is because David Hasselhoff had food poisoning. So he couldn't shoot a bunch of scenes when he was supposed to.
In Italy? He got food poisoning in Italy?
I don't want to say anything about the delicious food in Rome, but yes, he got food poisoning in Italy.
So there's scenes that you're watching in this movie where the man on screen has just had diarrhea.
Well, the man in the mask didn't have diarrhea. That was like a production associate.
Oh, okay.
It's funny because I do remember watching him and thinking during some of his close-ups, he looks very dewy. Like he looked a little
moist. Looked a little sallow.
Yeah.
The one thing
who's the other actor who played Acton or whatever
yes,
the fuck his
Akron.
Name was?
I really want Akron, to talk about this. Yes.
Akron, a character who is revealed in the middle of the movie to be able to see the future? Like, once you have an omniscient character in the movie, ask them questions all the rest of the movie. Just figure it out because he knows the future, right?
I mean, yes. He's an interesting guy. Because he has these powers that he's trying to build up, but he...
She says at one point, Akron, can you see the future?
He's a tracker, right? That's his whole thing. That he
he's
knows.
A navigator. He's the best navigator in the galaxy.
Got it.
As is she, the greatest pilot in the galaxy.
Well, I wanted to kind of bring up something about this guy as well. And I'm just looking through, my email, because I sent it to myself. And so that actor is this guy, who is the world's youngest child preacher. And if you want to find out more about him, there is a documentary film which won the 1972 Academy Award for Best Documentary called Marjo. And it was about him as an evangelist. And he got out of the religion game and he got into the B-movie game.
Okay, so all of this happens prior to him becoming an actor.
Yes.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah, but I just thought that was like one of the craziest side stories I've ever seen.
Oh, also, there are Amazons. There are Amazons. There are cavemen.
Hey, everybody. We have to take a brief break in the show to hear a word from our sponsors and our favorite sponsors. Is us. That's right. Do you want a How Did This Get Made t-shirt? Well, we have amazing ones in the store right now. I mean, really, we have launched an epic amount of t-shirts lately. One from every city that we went to on tour. So if you've come and seen us live, there is a tour shirt that represents your show, often voted on by you in the crowd. But we also have shirts from last week's episode, which was Lou Ferrigno's loofahs. So there is a loofah shirt up there. We also have some really good ones. Genocide, Schmenicide, that's a shirt that is up and available. So head on over to tpublic.com/stores/HDTGM to see what we got and what's on sale. You can make it a sticker, a coffee mug. You can make it anything you want. It's pretty, pretty cool. Also, you know what's cool? Protecting yourself. That's right. Did you know that on average, a burglary happens every 23 seconds in the U.S. That's right. Every 23 seconds. While I was talking about t-shirts, a house was being robbed. Robbed blind. And you know why it was being robbed? Because no one has proper home security. Not no one. A lot of you don't have it. Only one in five homes. That's the real stat that I want to give you. One in five homes have proper security, okay? And why don't five out of five homes have it? Okay, it's too hard. Set it up. It's expensive. It's confusing. It takes so much time. It's a hassle. I want to go out and play. Well, guess what? Simply Safe comes in here to do two things effectively. It's in the goddamn title. Simply Safe. It's simple and it keeps you safe. Okay? No contract, no hidden fees, no fine print. It's protection of every door, window, and room for 24/7 professional monitoring for only $15 a month. It won a ton of awards from my favorite place, New York Times Wirecutter. That place, I trust them. I basically buy everything the Wirecutter recommends. So much so, the Wirecutter's like, do you want to come visit us when you're in New York? And I was like, I kind of do. I mean, it's just like a Consumer Reports office, and I love them. Anyway, Simply Safe stands out because they have this amazing video verification technology. When other home security systems are triggered, police often assume it's a false alarm and the call goes to the bottom of the list, but not with Simply Safe. Using their video verification technology, they can visually confirm that the break-in is happening, allowing police to get to the scene 3.5 times faster. Simply Safe looks great too. It comes right out of the box. It's so easy to set up. And you know what? Isn't your peace of mind worth 15 bones a month? I mean, that's like two Starbucks. That's it. You know, you could do this, people. Go to simplysafe.com/bonkers and you'll get a free shipping and 60-day risk-free trial. You've got nothing to lose. Now, I'm going to tell you one more time. Go to simplysafe.com/bonkers. That's simplisafe.com/bonkers. They will now know that we sent you. Okay, so we want you to make sure that they know that because that's why they're advertising the show. Go there and start protecting yourself. simplysafe.com/bonkers. People, do you want a website? Well, let me tell you about our friends at Squarespace. A long time ago, when the information superhighway was full of greedy people out there with their twirling mustaches, like, oh, I know how to code. I know how to do all that HTML stuff. How much? $120 an hour. Fuck that. I'm not even going to make a website and your passion and your ideas died. Well, guess what? Not anymore. Because now when you have an idea, you can actually make the website yourself. It's simple. It's easy. It is fun to do because Squarespace actually has beautiful templates, easy design functionality, and it allows you to sell stuff online. In just a few clicks, you can have everything that you ever wanted in a website up and running. Plus, they have 24/7 customer support, which means that if you do get stuck, they are there to help you. Never has it's been easier to set up a website or domain. Whether you are a designer, or you're a lawyer, or you're an artist, you're a gamer, you have a restaurant or a gym, whether or not you are known for the best Arnold Palmer in the land, you gotta let people know about it because you know what? If you're not on the internet, man, it doesn't make a difference. It doesn't make it. That's why Daniel Day-Lewis retired. He wasn't on the internet. People forgot about him. Anyway, head to squarespace.com/bonkers for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use the offer code BONKERS to save 10% off on your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/bonkers. Bonkers.
In what world did this movie take place? That's the thing I always kept on thinking. Like, is it a world where Earth is there, or is it more like Star Wars? Is it a galaxy far away?
I had no idea. I had no idea if there was gravity. I have no idea if it seemed they could just walk out of their spaceships.
They didn't need oxygen to breathe.
Yeah, and just sort of fly and swim around space.
The Emperor's forces. Okay, so the bad guy's ship is structured like a hand, which is really weird. And the ship's like fingers like curl around when it's like gonna fight.
Imagine being in that part of this ship.
And so the good guys launch like torpedoes with men in them.
That was amazing.
It basically is like they treat it like people are attacking a castle or something like that, such that they breach the walls of the spaceship and then jump out and fight. But if you were to breach the wall of the spaceship, everything inside would get sucked out into space. Well, we understand that, right? But nope, that's not what happens.
But yet they also, when the little missiles come in, you hear glass breaking, like, ching, like...
Yeah.
And then, but later on, when Elle and Stella jump out of their window, there seemingly is no glass there. It's just an open window.
Yes.
In their spaceship.
And she is in nothing but a bubble, right?
Yeah.
And he is like, here I go. It is the most interesting character is the robot, without a doubt. The most interesting character is the robot because it's a robot but has so many emotional lines or lines that are driven from an emotional point of view.
Let me be a robot chauvinist for a second. He says, let me be a robot chauvinist. And I thought to myself, if he's a robot chauvinist, that would be a human going like, stay here, robot. I'll do this. You can't do that, robot. Let a human do it. That would be a robot chauvinist. He's still just being a chauvinist by saying, you wait up here, lady, I'll do it.
Well, it made me think that in his world, there are no female robots.
Oh. Wait, this isn't that a female robot?
Yeah, I agree, but if he's just a robot chauvinist, then there's no...
Well, didn't you hear him say to this female robot, you shouldn't work, you should be at home. He said to the female robot, put that sword down. Women robots can have swords.
See, I did appreciate these costumes on these ladies. I will say the death on Snow Planet seemed like a very peaceful release. There she is.
This yeah. is how I would like to go.
I watched it and I was like, if given my druthers, this seems quite lovely
yes,
to
I would
just
love
drift
to just
off in a bank of snow.
Lay but, down in the snow holding hands with my robot companion.
But the robot companion was going to charge her heart by slowing it down.
Yes.
So, I mean, it was a little bit weird because it seemed like the plan
was... Oh, it was weird? There was a part of this movie that was weird and maybe didn't add up exactly? Huh.
Look, I had very few science flaws with this movie. Plot holes, yes, but the science is spot on. Like, when they go and use the elevator and the elevator buttons in a giant fishbowl, that makes sense to me.
And as an astronomist, you're always looking for science flaws.
I am the Neil deGrasse Tyson of this podcast. I call out all the things that you people love because I want to be a real spoiled sport. But this one, I couldn't find it. Couldn't find a thing wrong with it. No, but he said he's slowing down her heart. And then when he brings her on the ship, she's literally like a cartoon icicle. Like a rag doll made of ice. And he's like, she's not going to make it. Like, but wait, you said that she would. Like, isn't that the whole thing? Like, that they held hands.
Well, Paul, but
you know she
like
makes it, right?
Yeah,
she does make it.
But it would. But wouldn't you just say like?
I think he wasn't expecting to be out there for that long.
Okay.
Which was how long?
A long
time.
Felt
like 10 minutes to me.
It felt like they were not there that long because the guy in the ship. He's like, you were supposed to be here an hour ago. And he's like, I've got trouble with the ship. So they've been outside for what, like an hour and a half?
I just, by the way, remembered that the ship has a giant brain in it.
Yes, that's a computer. That's a computer in the shape of a giant brain.
And he touches it and rubs it as if the brain's like, yes.
Yeah.
So is it a giant brain? Or is it a computer in the shape of a brain?
I don't think they understood anything at all. I think that prop was left over from something else. And they were like, we can use it.
And when they were fighting him at one point, they're trying to shove his head into like a foldaway bed? Is that what's going on there? Like that bed that they put her in, like when he's fighting that guy, he's like, get in the bed. Like he's like shoving him in that bed.
I don't remember that scene, Paul.
All right, well, you remember
what
that
scene are you talking about?
When the guy who is the bald guy on the ship betrays him and they have that fight, him and Acton, and he starts to shove his head into like a foldaway bed. It's like and then he gets back. But why do they also have a giant bed?
Was that like a heating bed? To heat her up?
Does it come in handy that much?
Was it a bed for the computer brain to sleep in?
But because he puts her in that one, but that bed doesn't heat up. He heats her up with his laser eyes. But it also seems like...
What is Akron? What is Akron?
I don't know.
Because he's got, like, abilities. But at first I thought, oh, he's going to be a robot android type of thing. Like... And then L comes in, and I'm like, well, that's clearly the robot. So then I couldn't tell what Akron must be, some sort of alien species that can conjure stuff and see the future, and I don't know what.
Luke Skywalker, because he has a fucking lightsaber. Out of his own... But like, it looked like it was coming out of like his knuckles, like Wolverine.
Can I just say, Paul had a very strong reaction to seeing that lightsaber on screen.
Positive or negative?
Well, so we were watching this on an iPad, which is why I didn't see some of the details, like the collar and
collar!
A couple other things.
Collar!
So we were watching it on a very
June,
small screen.
June, if you could hear how stupid you sounded calling those collar earrings.
I say earrings, you say collar. Earrings! Earrings!
That's a t-shirt. Collar versus earrings is a t-shirt.
So we're both trying to watch this movie on an iPad frantically before children come home. It was very stressful. And so Paul was sort of looking over, taking notes, and then he looks up. I guess he had missed when the lightsaber first came out, and all I heard was, he has a lightsaber now?
As an amateur astronomer, I like that kind of stuff.
This time you couldn't say the word amateur. You've now tried to say the phrase amateur astronomer multiple times and have messed up both words.
Well, that... It's the way I pronounce it. People in the amateur assignments, people in the amateur assignments are rare. We all say that.
Oh, God. Ugh. But there were
amateur
notes.
Astronomer would be a great shirt, too.
There were notes in your voice when you screamed out, he has a lightsaber now, of hysteria, joy, resentment, anger. It was like, I've never heard someone experience...
I felt similarly betrayed.
Wow.
The child in me who loved Star Wars felt betrayed
by
in that
seeing
moment.
That lightsaber.
How dare you have a lightsaber?
Because it's crazy. That's an invention of Star Wars. It's like, it's so...
Meanwhile, they've already now established multiple other characters who just have swords.
Right.
Regular swords. Not laser swords, just metal swords. So now this guy rolls up with a fucking lightsaber, and he also knows the future? What the fuck is Akron?
He is kind of like an Obi-Wan Kenobi character, which makes it so bizarre when he's dead and he disappears that he doesn't come back at the end to be like, we did it. Like, he doesn't do that. We should have had him come back.
As a force ghost?
Yeah.
Doesn't he say, I don't know what you two are talking about, but doesn't he say at the end that he will come back? That he sees that in the future?
And then he does in Return of the Jedi. If Akron showed up in the next Star Wars movie...
J.J. Abrams is like, guess what? I'm tying it all together. The final shot, Rey meets Acton.
Oh, is it Acton, not Akron?
It's Acton.
Know.
Sorry, everybody.
But he does disappear. But he... When we first meet him... He seems like the Han Solo, right? Because they're escaping on the ship, and he's like, we have a 30% chance of total disintegration, a 15%
chance. 3%? They have 3% chance to live through that.
Yeah. And so he's giving all that, and we're like, but with this ship, we'll do it. But no, he's not that guy. He's the tracker. And then the first time that we know that he's a little bit different is when he's just playing with, like, a light. Like, not a light, but, like... A weird
energy or something.
Yeah, like an energy ribbon like wing wong wong. Like it's like almost like playing with a slinky that's electric. So like, oh, that's interesting. Like, I'm just working on my powers. Okay, that's a shock.
Why not, for our sake, explain why and who and how?
Right. So then the next time we see him, he's unfreezing a girl with his eyes, and we're like, oh, that's a thing? And then he whips out a fucking lightsaber, and then at the end, he just fights those two golems like a normal guy with sword fighting. David Hasselhoff is just as good.
Better.
Yeah.
He's better with the lightsaber.
Wow. So it's not even a special tool.
If this movie didn't have a lightsaber in it, would you have a different opinion on it altogether?
Well, what do you mean? This movie's amazing because it has a lightsaber.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, I see.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty cool. Right. We haven't even talked about the fact that none of the actors' real voices were used in this movie.
Yes. Hasselhoff's voice was his.
Hasselhoff and Plummer's voice.
I think
voice.
Christopher Plummer. I loved what Christopher Plummer said. Halt the flow of time. I was like, motherfuckers, what kind of powers does everybody have? These are like God-level powers that people have, and they are just like casually, this guy can stop time?
But then like the bad guys didn't seem to have any powers. Like he seemed so trapped by his humanness.
Yeah.
Where he, during the big shootout at the end, where the human torpedoes are coming in, he's just sort of on that bridge yelling, kill, kill, that way, kill, kill.
That guy, I call, like, he was like, if Kylo Ren got to grow up to be a little bit older and a little bit more eccentric, that bad guy, I felt like. Just like, he's like, yeah, things have gone bad for him. He worked a cape better than anyone I've ever seen. I've never seen...
So true.
I've never seen anyone let the cape go out flowing and then pull it back. Like, he doesn't move, and the cape comes together. And the cape goes... He really is a real Dracula with that cape.
Oh, yeah. He's like, guess what? I'm Darth Vader in the new movie. I'm doing it. I'm like caped bad guy, you know, like I've got powers.
Let's listen to him. This is one of the great displays of cape work. It's really flowing here, and we get to hear his evil plan.
Meanwhile, these... Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, these robots...
These robots are ridiculous.
They have them in perspective. They have them so that they seem the same size as the men, but they are in fact like maybe 3 feet tall?
If that.
I feel like this is like 4 inches tall.
Yeah, they look like you could just sort of push them right over.
Oh, yeah.
There's nothing, there's no substance to them.
I want to look on eBay and try to buy one of these robots. Put it next to my bear costume.
Bring this robot into our home.
Like, what do you think their mission is?
All right, so let's play this speech from the bad guy as he comes into the room here.
You've been very lucky and clever. You survived every trap that I'd laid for you. Then I realized that your success would become my triumph. How much time is left, Captain?
Half a quadrant to go, my lord.
You hear? In less than an hour's time, all that will be left of this planet will be ashes and cosmic dust. Forever. Then, you will be among the dead.
That is when I realized I didn't get anything that was happening in this movie. Because like, that seemed like a good plan that was, I didn't even know there was a half plan there. And also, when Acton brings them to this base, he knows everything about it. I thought that he was in on it. He's like, oh, and here's the elevator.
No, he
here.
Knows everything because he knows the future, I think.
Boy, oh boy. So, but he knows the future, so like, oh. All right.
I mean, I don't know. I thought the same thing. Like, why does
but
he know that...
It seems like he knows the future in limited amounts. Like, he knows, like, the next 10 minutes.
That's pretty great.
And...
I would love it if that's... And, like, 10 minutes before he died, he was like, oh, fuck.
By the way.
Fuck me. Fuck. God damn it. What's the matter, Acton? What's the matter? Fuck. Oh, I can't even, but you know what? I'm pissed right now.
I love the final scene of Acton when the camera's going in on him when he's dying. He's like, Yeah. It's not pain, it's sort of like,
And doesn't he die only because he's been cut on the arm?
Yeah. But those robots got strong swords.
Do they put like poison on their sword, like the Red Viper? I mean, like, what's going on?
Maybe in this world the heart is on the arm.
Maybe where whatever alien race he is, yeah, that's his Achilles heel.
Let's not play any more clips. Just hearing it again.
All I want
is
more clips.
I did want to play one clip more, which was this, because there was something I noticed. Is Christopher Plummer looking directly into
yes.
the camera?
Yeah.
For his final speech. His final speech is straight down the lens.
And it's nonsense. So let's just take a look at this for a second.
The stars are clear. The planets shine. We've won. Oh, some dark force, no doubt, will show its face once more. The wheel will always turn.
Right down the camera.
I mean.
But for now, it's calm. And for a little time,
I wonder if he'll turn around.
All he's thinking about is pasta right now.
I mean, that's ludicrous.
I also have an issue with the way he decorates his throne room. His view screen is way too high. It's like when you go over someone's house and their TV is up too tall. It's like, you know what? Eye level, people.
That's happening a lot these days. People are setting their TVs a little bit too high.
That's what we're here to talk about, Richmond. Here's the deal. If you've got a fireplace, don't put a TV over it.
It's just
That's not how it works.
And turn off your motion smoothing.
Guys, you gotta get in there and turn off that motion smoothing.
It's so easy to do.
When I walk into someone's house and their TV looks like that, I'm like, oh no. I can't be friends with these people anymore.
No.
Because they're living
all in respect for them.
They're living in a nonsense world.
But
if I go to an Airbnb, I fix it and I leave it as a gift and I don't
know.
Pay them.
But you'd be surprised how many people genuinely don't know.
Oh yeah, and those are the people who are like, Game of Thrones is too dark.
I like all my movies to look like shitty VHS home recordings.
You know what I want? I want to watch Dunkirk, but have it look like a British sitcom from the 70s.
I want to have Dunkirk look like Star Crash.
I want every single thing in complete focus. Everything.
People are going crazy for these Sweet Tango apples, okay? We've been talking about how the Apple Corp has finally made its way into advertising on podcasts. And I have to tell you, people are like, I've never heard of a Sweet Tango. And I'm going to tell you, they're delicious. I had one here for the first time when they first started advertising. I'm like, I need to have more of these. Now people are sending me Instagram posts of their Sweet Tangos. It's a lively touch of citrus, honey, and spice, all in a delicious apple. They have a serious crunch and a satisfying burst of sweet and tangy juice in every bite. And let me tell you something. Did you know that Sweet Tango set the Guinness World Record for the loudest apple crunch? Yeah, it's true. And here's something else you need to know. Sweet Tango apples are in season and available right now. So run to your nearest grocer or grocery store, whatever. If you have a grocer, I'm into that. I'd love you to have a personal grocer. Your mouth is going to owe you big time. So if you need to find a place that sells these apples, just head on over to sweettango.com/bonkers. That's sweettango.com/bonkers. And they're going to tell you where to find these apples. Seriously, if you like apples, you should try it. If you don't like apples, you should try it. Is there something interfering with your happiness or preventing you from achieving your goals? Well, I don't want to hear about it. because I got my own shit going on, okay? But I'll tell you somebody who does want to hear about it. The people at BetterHelp Online Counseling, right? They can help you because they offer licensed professional counselors who are specialized in issues such as depression, anxiety, relationships, trauma, anger, family conflicts, LGBT matters, grief, self-esteem, and more. Basically, they can help all of your 99 problems because they got a therapist for each one. You can connect in a safe and private online environment. You can get help on your own time at your own pace, and everything you share is confidential and it's convenient too. You can schedule secure video and phone sessions as well as chat and text with your therapist. And if for some reason you're not happy with your counselor, you can request a new one at any time for no additional charge. Best of all, it is an affordable option. Our listeners get 10% off your first month with the discount code BONKERS. So why not get started today? Go to betterhelp.com/bonkers, then simply fill out a questionnaire to help them assess your needs and get matched with a counselor that you will love. That is betterhelp.com/bonkers. Start fixing yourself. All right, the first stop starts with you. Sure, why not? BetterHelp.com.
Let's go out to the audience. Let's see what you have to say.
Here we go.
All right. Raise your hand if you have a question. Let's see what we got here.
Can you take this light down and house lights up? Thank you.
All right, ma'am, your name and your question.
My name is Miriam, and my question is, when the ship is shut down and Acton says, "Don't worry, I took out this transistor," is that an homage to Sound of Music because of Christopher Plummer?
That's an amazing question.
Wow. I think the answer is unequivocally yes.
All right, we have someone waving their notes at me. There's a lot of notes. It's on a legal pad. There's a lot.
Ooh, be careful, Paul. They might be suing you.
All right. Ma'am, your name and your question.
My name is Maddie, and my question is, did any of you notice the random household items that they spray painted and put onto cardboard boxes?
No. What did you see?
We found a spray paint can, a soda can, a tape dispenser. We found a fork. We found all sorts of random things. We made a drinking game out of it. Anytime that you found a household item, you had to drink.
Again, if I were left alone in my house for a weekend, I could do this.
Wow, wait.
I could.
Were you wasted by the end of the movie?
I'm not going to say I was drinking Maker's Mark, but I might have been drinking Maker's Mark.
All right.
Are you drunk right now?
Her notes were just on Maker's Mark bottles. All right, here you go. You got my attention. Here's your question.
She just wrote them on glass?
With a Sharpie.
Wait, is that the baby?
Oh,
there's
baby.
A baby over there.
Oh, we got to be a little bit quiet because the baby's here, but that's amazing.
Look at
this
baby.
How old is that baby?
She's 6 weeks old.
Six weeks old? Is this the baby's first podcast? If you were like, the baby saw Doughboys last week, I'd be like, fuck you, baby.
That's a big baby.
Let's get a picture of this baby. There you go. Get that camera out. You have it. It's ready. Yeah, there you go.
Wait, Paul gets to take a picture with the baby?
What the fuck are we doing up here?
Jason, I'm the baby guy.
Ma'am, your name, your question.
Rosalyn, no one's talking about the fact that there's time laws because when they ask Acton, they're like, why didn't you tell me? He goes, well, it's against the law to change the future. And then at the end, the Emperor's just like, all right, cool, freeze time, let's get out of here.
It's true.
Wow, I can't believe she said nobody's talking about it. When I just moments ago talked about the Emperor saying, halt time. Oh, Richmond.
Is the star crash that the title refers to that end moment?
I believe so.
All right.
That's what's going on.
Okay, I'm here in the mezzanine.
Where?
Okay.
Mezzanine? Aren't you in the balcony?
Well, it said mezzanine on the door.
Oh.
So maybe I'll do a couple mezzes and then a couple balconies. All right. Here's a guy. Two guys in Dragon Sound t-shirts.
Tank tops.
Be careful, Paul. They don't have sleeves.
Paul, I want to be clear. Those are tank tops,
yep.
And you should know, talk to no person in the balcony wearing a tank top.
It feels
This person
very dangerous.
Got dressed to go to the theater in a tank top.
It's 9 p.m. and I'm staring at two tank tops.
It is dark out and I can see their shoulders. Hard pass.
Are you asking this question in tandem, gentlemen? Or one question. Okay, what are your names?
All right, I'm Logan. Charlie.
All right, Logan and Charlie, go.
Since this movie is set in a self-aware sci-fi action universe, and the main characters of the story are an angry, bald green man, an ass-kicking female lead, an alien with inexplicable powers, a wisecracking gunslinger, and a handsome male lead, my question, Paul, is Star Crash the uncredited inspiration for Guardians of the Galaxy?
Boom! Mic drop! The shoulders are working!
Here's what I'll say.
The shoulders are working!
Here's what I'll say. You know what? My apologies to the tank top boys. Because not only was it a good question, but they decided which one would talk.
Yeah.
And he wrote the question out in his phone and read it instead of the rest of you nightmares who are freestyling.
And I loved, here's what else I loved.
You are bringing respect to the balcony.
And I loved that the other tank top boy just stood in support.
Yes.
And they did hug at the end of the question.
And honestly, it's making me feel like I am rushing to judgment all over the
place. Here's the thing that I'll say. The balcony's making you orchestra motherfuckers look like assholes. Little did you know, much like you, I believed they couldn't read. Meanwhile, Tank Top's up there reading right off of his phone.
Oh, wow.
All right, ma'am, your name, your question.
Hi, my name is Hannah, and one of my questions was when they go to, like, I just call it Wonder Woman planet, because they're all Amazons. She says she has to get...
Which is where that term originated from.
She says she has to get revenge on the robot. My question is, what did this robot do?
I noticed that too. I think the Amazon, if that's a planet or I don't know. I think they've been in some sort of protracted war with the, because the robot and the bald guy in the previous scene work for the bad guy, right? Or no, work for the emperor, right?
Yes.
So I'm assuming the Amazons must be at war with whoever they represent, so the robots are attacking them? I didn't notice.
The Amazons are in legion with the cape guy.
With the caveman?
The guy with the cape.
Cape guy.
Sorry. I think.
I don't know, but I didn't think it was personal towards Elle as much as it was, I don't think they liked robots.
All right, here we go, ma'am. Your name, your question.
My name is Lily. And my question is, what the hell were those red balls when you got close to that planet?
You mean the monsters?
That just came in the ship, but were immune to, like, the robot guy, but, like, weren't...
They were mental manifestations.
They were monsters. They were the monsters that everybody was speaking of, right?
They were created by that room.
But what was so weird about them is I know people were supposed to be scared of them and they were supposed to look like monsters, but everybody reacted as though someone was crushing their heads.
Well, because it was a mental thing. It was playing with their minds. There was nothing there.
But there was something there.
No, that's what they describe.
But I can understand the feeling of seeing a scary monster. But I don't know if I saw one, I would...
To me, June... What I'm saying is
my
this.
My head like that.
But what I'm saying is, it's your own mental monster, right?
Excuse
so
me.
It's your own mental monster.
So you're saying?
Believe me, I know all about my own mental monsters. I've done a lot of work on myself. I'm well aware of what my own mental monsters look like.
So that's what you would get on the ship, and Jason would get his mental monster, and I would get my mental monster, and we'd all be like, ah.
But if I saw my mental monster right now, I wouldn't react as though it was crushing my skull.
And the guy who they find, the survivor, appears to have been driven space mad by the red strobe lights.
That I would understand.
I guess, but like the lights, what we're supposed to, I guess, assume is that the lights create a mental
image
that we are not privy to as viewers of the movie. This is just and you're watching everybody's internal struggle?
I guess their inner demons come to life like a crazy ayahuasca trip.
I would be, by the way,
I don't know.
Let us watch that.
Would
this
love
movie
to see
appears
it.
To be that for me. Watching this was like a crazy ayahuasca trip.
In a move that kind of remedies when I was called John, as I was walking down here, someone stopped me and said, excuse me, where are the bathrooms in here?
I wish you'd gotten that on mic.
All right, come here. All right, let's redeem us with a question. It should be good.
Come on, Okay. Orchestra, here we go.
Your name, your question.
Lisa, very important technical question related to transistor radios.
Okay.
Librarians, get ready.
The Emperor's ship from afar in the sea of Christmas light stars, was it not a transistor radio flying through space?
Good question. Was it not
the Emperor's ship?
I think we can assume everything was a household item, like toasters, just...
Here's a funny fact about the poster of the movie. I guess they had printed the movie upside down at one point, so whoever drew the poster drew the main ship upside down. So whatever poster you see of Star Crash, it's upside down.
Oh, wow.
All right, so you've told me that you can end this on a high note, because we've had a lot of hills and valleys here. Your name and your question.
Okay, my name is Joy, and I'm wondering if anyone else got the vibe. This kind of goes in line with the whole NC-17 thing, that this was actually a very long-form 1970s porno where all the sex was cut out.
Oh, so you think... Okay. So you think this
That's
was Space Caligula...
It goes hand in hand with Christopher Plummer's statement. He goes,
yes.
I go to Rome for a porno.
By the
maybe
way.
Maybe he thought he did.
Wow.
By the way, yes. Maybe this was like in Italy, whatever this was released as. It was like, it was Space Caligula.
Whoa.
Can anybody, librarians, can you get on this?
Let's
Dewey Decimal this up, librarians. Come on.
Before we get into before we get into the second opinion part of the show, a couple of fun facts. The filmmakers were reluctant to allow the composer John Barry to see the film in case he decided to quit the project after seeing it. Thought that was great. Also, what else do I have here? A dinosaur sequence was filmed, but deleted. It seems like a majority of the fight scenes were improvised. There's a fight scene between Marjo Gortner and Robert Tessier that was improvised on the spot. That's when he's shoving his head into this bed, that bed right there. And also, David Hasselhoff did his own stunts and knocked out an Italian stuntman's tooth. And what else do I have? Anything else? The movie took over 6 months to shoot and was frequently brought to a halt.
6 months
for
this?
Due to financing problems.
They could have shot this in a weekend.
Easily.
Yeah, I mean, they really could have.
Wow.
But obviously, we have opinions about this movie, but there are people out there with a different opinion. It is now time for second opinions.
And now the time is here to second guess a shitty movie. My friends, I'll say it clear. I found Star Crash, well, pretty groovy. You'd think it'd be absurd. The Hoff in space shooting eye lasers. It's so much more than this. I'd give it 5 stars.
Give it up for Victor. All right, it is now time.
Here we go.
It is now time for second opinions.
Okay. Planets of cavemen and plastic wrap spacesuits, Bobo lightsabers, cod pieces, silver boots, bare legs and torsos, fake C-3PO. Their second opinions I've just got to know. When the plot fails, when I'm so lost, finally see the Hoff. I open my browser to Amazon. Second opinions sound off.
Give it up for Emily. All right. Great job, everyone.
Wow. Guys. Richmond, really delivering tonight. Really fucking delivering. Also, yeah. Really delivering when half of you must be dehydrated because it was so hot today that I thought when I went to get coffee, I might die.
Yeah.
I believe the TV said, don't leave the house.
And it looked like it because I was like, oh, here I am in this cute neighborhood. I'm going to go walk around. And then I was like, there is nobody on these streets. I was like, do I not know? And the rapture has happened?
It's a strange kind of heat because it doesn't feel like, oh, of course I'm going to go outside and be, I know it's going to be hot out. But when I walked outside, I felt like the heat slapped me.
It feels
aggressive.
It feels like it is a physical, like I find that the heat makes me have like physical reactions. It makes me nauseous almost.
Yeah.
I felt like discomfort in my bod.
But we're so psyched to be here. We love Richmond. It's a beautiful city.
Very excited
You've
to be here.
You've made the right choice.
Yes.
Okay, so this is
tough. We might just stop the tour now.
Let's stay here.
This is...
Why continue?
This is it. This is the pinnacle. So if
Can't
you
get
hear
no
about, if you hear about other shows happening, it's a lie.
We are here. We're just doing the show here every night.
And all the rest of the shows are dedicated to Richmond.
All right. So now it's time for second opinions. These are a little bit tricky because how can you really, in good faith, give this 5 stars? They all are kind of winking at us. 218 reviews. 29% are 5 star. This was written by Carlos Enriquez. It goes like this. Like a cross between Flash Gordon and a Ray Harryhausen movie, all the characters here are vast improvements over their supposed knockoffs in Star Wars. Example, the robot sidekick, L, looks like Darth Vader, acts like Boba Fett, and speaks like Slim Pickens. 5 stars. Kenneth T. Hartshorn writes, in January of 2019, the Hoff, check. The Plum, check. Colonel Sanders in a robot suit, double check. This is just a little fun thing here. This is written by Manicam 2001. Manicam writes, I love the Blu-ray. It includes an hour-long chat with this gorgeous woman and her start in the business. I included in the interview her about the movies that she appeared in and what she thought about each role she played, and also how the dialogue was changed in Star Crash at the last minute to include dub versions of all of the actors in the film, which she didn't realize until she saw it at the premiere. And so I did a little digging, or I should say Avril did a little digging, and Avril, one of our producers who pulls all of these great movies, found this interview, and I wanted to play a little clip of... this is actually one of the actors in the film. This is Stella from the time period when this movie was made, and here's her talking about her character.
Oh, no. Well, in fact, I play Stella Starr. Stella Starr is obviously a fantasy figure, very much fantasy. She wears very strange, exotic costumes, and she's a very strong, confident, with a sense of humor. Yes, strong, confident sense of humor character. I think science fiction perhaps chose me rather than me choosing science fiction. I think it's very much needed now to get away from too much violence and sex. I think it's nice to have a film where all the family can go and see. It's very, very important. I think people want to be entertained. I'm sure so. I know when I go to the cinema, that's what I want.
First of all, they shouldn't have had that interview on the bus.
Why? But why did our press? Guess what? Our press junket is on a moving bus.
But also, what's kind of amazing about it, and why I have a lot of respect for it, is you see so much behind-the-scenes footage there, and it looks so much better, the final product. It's like, wow, they really did do something there. This one
the,
is...
The footage, like the behind-the-scenes footage, looked better than the movie.
I agree.
Yeah. This is the last one. I mean, again, this is kind of a lackluster second opinion. This is by P. Black. P. Black writes, a piddly 3 stars average rating? Come on. Basic Instinct 2 has the same rating, at least as I'm writing this, which is 2011. And it's nowhere near as fun, or any fun at all, actually. I don't really have anything more to say about that in this review. 5 stars. So that is just someone just taking his anger on the Basic Instinct 2. By the way, that might be a fun movie to do. I didn't even realize they made a sequel to Basic Instinct. The taglines for this movie, a sexy space adventure. From a vast and distant galaxy, a space adventure like no other, and then a galactic adventure beyond your wildest dreams. I would say all of those are untrue.
Most of those also sound like porno.
Yeah.
I'm now obsessed with the fact that there must be sex scenes that were cut out only to dictate an NC-17. Otherwise, I don't understand a world in which this is NC-17.
Well, as I said, I'm a scientist, and I think that...
Now you're an astronomist.
Same deal. We all go to the same conferences.
That is Comic-Con worried. That you're going to.
Really? Is that where... everyone dresses up like Drax and stuff like that. Is that an astronomy convention? Or
that is Comic-Con.
That's definitely Comic-Con.
Oh, okay.
You are talking to like people dressed as Chewbacca.
I've met Chewbacca, yeah. I was going to say, I think that the science in this movie you need to be 17 years old to get it. It's going to go
over. Are you saying that you are 17 years old?
I'm saying it needs to be NC-17. You got to be at least 17 to get what's going on.
Oh, I see.
The budget of this movie, anyone want to take a guess?
$1,100?
Yeah.
First of all, I feel like you do know it and you're yelling it out. They don't. So when you're yelling...
What's so funny is you get nothing from yelling. If you've looked it up and you know, why answer? You're just saying, I know how to Google. Oh, God, Richmond, you are blowing it. Right at the end.
You're bringing down our guys in those tank tees. Okay? They're raising
those
you up.
I bet if we put house lights up right now, they're not wearing shirts.
All right, so the budget of this movie is $4 million. $4 million, and that's in 1979, which is about like $90 million in 2019 money. The domestic gross was $478,000.
Wow.
The top 3 movies of 1979, Kramer vs. Kramer, The Amityville Horror, Apocalypse Now. There's no record of where this fell in 79.
Did this get, like, oh yeah, you said it made 400,000. I was like, did it get a full release? Did this, like, what
it
is
it? It seems like it was, like, in limited release. Yeah, yeah. It premiered in Los Angeles at the Saturn Awards, and it was nominated for Best International Film. But wow. Who knows how many people submitted.
Wow.
Could be the only submission. Jason, June, would you recommend people to see this? Okay.
Maybe.
What?
Maybe. It's very bad, and I wouldn't watch the whole thing, but I guess this is one of the ones that, for the podcast, to enjoy the podcast, I would say watch a bunch of it, just so you get the scope of what this is. Also, because I think it's fun enough, but it's too long to remain. I would not watch the whole thing.
Well, it's tricky because the battle sequences are so long.
I fast-forwarded almost all the battle sequences. But there's a scene in the beginning where they keep cutting in and out of the spaceship.
Yeah.
Stella Star and Akron.
Yes.
Acton. What's Acton? What's his name?
Acton.
And they don't say lines. That's where you're supposed to come in. They cut in, and they're supposed to now be talking to each other. Cut out and something, cut in. But instead, it's just space, inside. It goes on for so long. Is that what this is?
No, that was the chase scene. But yeah, you're right. It's an aggressively long thing, and I feel like that's where they do rip off Star Wars, but they don't realize that was impressive. And this is not impressive.
Remember when the robot was nervous to go into hyperspace?
Seems like an odd choice.
The robot was like, did the robot say, I've never been in hyperspace before?
But he seems like he was, who knows, God knows.
It's a robot. You would understand mathematically
what hyperspace
is. I just don't
understand why you would ever program a robot to be nervous. Like, if you're programming a robot to be nervous, it's so that in the human experience, humans are getting something out of that.
It makes the robot instantly the most compelling character in this movie.
Absolutely.
Are you guys arguing for like a Picard-like reboot series with L? You know, a retired L going back to Star Crash?
Yes.
I'm in.
That's the character that I would like to see spun off. L.
We're making a lot of movies on this tour. I have to say, we've already committed to at least, I think every show we've committed to at least a
last
spin-off.
Last night's show, we committed to two, prequel and a sequel. And we're supposed to write all of them?
We got
to
get it
done. I don't see another way.
So we have decided tonight that the T-shirt will be in the style of the Top Gun logo with, instead of Top Gun, it would say... Amateur astronomist. A good, good choice.
Richmond, Virginia, a city that is 80% librarians. You guys are doing great.
Richmond, we have had so much fun with you. Just a shout out to Devin, who's joined us all the way from LA. He's been here with all of our shows, engineering our show. Give it up for Devin. He's here. You know, the people who listen to Unspooled know that we talk about Devin a lot more because we're not kind of, whatever. Yeah.
But what's Unspooled?
It's a great, fun podcast. We've had a lot of great guests. I'll get into it.
And do you have to, like, suffer through movies? And,
no,
like,
no,
watch?
It's great. Great films. Great.
Do you have guests?
Yeah. We had Spike Lee on the show. That was great. Then I had Conan O'Brien on the show. That was great. Wow. We had Peter Bogdanovich on the show.
Did he wear an ascot? Or a cravat?
We had to... Well, so we talked to him over the phone, and we had to put a cravat around the phone.
I'll send a cravat ahead so you can put it on the...
I'm falling asleep as I'm giving you my message.
It's like an Hermes cravat wrapped around the phone.
All right, let's tell you guys. Richmond, you have been amazing. Thank you so much for coming.
We did it, Richmond.
Thank
we did it.
We love it. Thank you. Good night.
All right, that is all for Star Crash, and I wanted to let you know that you should be checking out Big Mouth currently on Netflix. It stars Jason, June, and myself. We're all in it. June's book, Represent, A Woman's Guide to Running for Office and Changing the World, is out in bookstores or on Amazon, wherever you get your books. And if you're in L.A., head on over to The Jane Club. TheJaneClub.com is where you can find out all the information about this very special space that June Diane Raphael has created. And we actually have a mini episode about that in a little bit of time. But just head on over to TheJaneClub.com to find out a little bit more about that. And people, I hope you're watching The Good Place because, you know, Jason and I, we've been on it. It's the final season. Things are happening. Why don't you check in with the show? A big thank you to Avril Halley, who does an amazing job finding these movies, producing this show from that creative standpoint. We love her so much. Also, Nate Kiley does all of our research. And of course, Kyle Waldron with the art. We also have the ghost of Craig T. Nelson designing amazing art. Devin, who came out to the live shows, recorded these. It was just grinding with us. Josh now, our new producer, July Diaz, who's listening all the time. People, we're nonstop working here on the How Did This Get Made business. I'm going to let you know that if you want to continue this conversation about Star Crash, and you definitely do, head on over to the earwolf.com message boards, or better yet, give me a call at 619-PAUL-ASK. That's 619-PAUL-ASK. You can leave your comments about Star Crash, or we do a segment in our mini episode where you can just call and ask me questions about your life, and we will give you advice here on the mini episode. All that and more next week on the mini episode. We'll see if Michael Bay continues to terrorize me by sending me copies of Transformers. I mean, look, it hasn't stopped since it started, so I'm sure it will continue. We'll see you next week on the mini episode to tell you everything that you need to know about the week's next episode. Bye-bye. All right, today's show is brought to you by our good friends at BetterHelp. That's right, BetterHelp. Whatever struggles you are facing, from depression to anxiety to trauma and grief, BetterHelp can help you connect with a professional counselor in a safe and private online environment. It is so convenient. You can schedule secure video and phone sessions, as well as chat and text with a therapist. Anything you share is completely confidential. Best of all, it's an affordable option. Our listeners get 10% off your first month with the discount code BONKERS. So why not get started today? Simply go to betterhelp.com/bonkers to fill out a questionnaire and get matched with a counselor you will love today. How did this get made?